Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, if you've ever sat in a meeting watching a PowerPoint about some huge multi-million dollar investment, maybe it's a new factory, a big software rollout, or even buying another company, you know that feeling. It's all just shrouded in this complex financial jargon and these endless spreadsheets that are, well, they're almost impossible to verify on the spot. So our mission today is pretty simple. We are going to give you an expert framework to just cut right through all that complexity. How do you vet a new business idea quickly and thoroughly? We're looking at sources that lay out this really comprehensive four-stage method, a kind of dashboard design that takes you step by step from just, you know, scattered data to a confident investment decision.
It's all about having a structure. I mean, if you walk into a major proposal without a defined process, you're just going to drown in the data.
You'll either spend way too much time on details that don't matter, or even worse, you'll just bet everything on a single rosy prediction. This framework, it acts as a roadmap. It's broken down into four clear steps: discover, design, deploy, and then drive. And following that exact order is the key. It makes this kind of complex analysis manageable for, well, for anyone, really.
I really like that focus on clarity. So let's jump in. The first step is discover and. I mean, this seems like it's the most critical stage because everything else depends on it.
It is.
We're talking about collecting the input data. And it's not just get me the numbers. It's very specific, right? The framework isolates 10 factors that really matter.
Precisely. If we're looking at, say, building a new manufacturing plant, we have to know which pieces of information are actually fundamental. And the framework splits these 10 factors into two buckets: the revenue drivers and the cost drivers.
Okay, so let's unpack the revenue side first. What are the inputs that really define the potential upside?
You've got five key factors here. Together, they map out the whole opportunity and, you know, your piece of it. First is market size. Just how big is the total market? Second, the selling price for your product. Third, and this is important, the projected market growth rate over the asset's life.
And that's usually an external number, right? Linked to the economy or something.
Exactly. But the final two are really about your own assumptions, your execution. You have the achievable market share you're targeting, and then the resulting physical sales volume in units.
So three are about the market, and two are about your confidence in your own team.
That's a great way to put it, yes.
That makes a lot of sense. You've basically drawn a box around the entire opportunity. But of course, opportunity always comes with costs. What are the other factors on the cost and investment side?
Right. So here we have four cost factors plus the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You start with the big one, the total investment required up front, the capital expenditure. No. Then you look at the expenses, the projected operating costs per year. Think of that as your variable costs, and then your fixed costs per year, which are the costs that don't change, like rent. The fourth cost factor is one that people often forget, but it's critical for the final cash flow, the residual value.
What the asset is worth at the very end.
What it's worth at the end, exactly. It's salvage value. And finally, the timeline is just defined by the asset's useful life in years.
You know, what really stands out here is how much insight this gives you immediately. If you're the one making the decision, you can look at a proposal and instantly ask which of those 10 numbers is based on solid research,
mm-hmm.
and which one is based on, let's be honest, pure internal optimism, like that market share number. If you can do that, you're already halfway to a really deep understanding of the project's viability.
And having that solid foundation is what lets us move to the second stage,
yeah.
Design. Now that we have these inputs, we need a way to handle all the uncertainty of the future. So we move from just collecting data to actually building a model.
And this stage uses a simulation approach.
A simulation approach, yes.
Now, a lot of financial plans just rely on a single best guess scenario. Why does this method insist on modeling multiple scenarios? Why not just average it out?
Because the average is a fantasy. It completely hides the risk. What's so powerful here is that the design stage forces you to be transparent. You have to build models for at least three different futures: pessimistic, realistic, and optimistic over the entire life of the asset.
So you're not predicting one future. You're stress testing the investment.
You are stress testing it against multiple possible realities.
Okay, so back to our factory example. The pessimistic scenario might have, what, higher fixed costs, or maybe the market doesn't grow as fast as we thought.
Exactly. And that pessimistic case isn't just for show. It's the project's insurance policy. It shows you the break-even points where the project starts losing money. You're actively hunting for weaknesses in revenue, cost, and cash flow that a single rosy prediction would completely hide.
I see. So it's a shift from a static number to a dynamic understanding of risk.
That's it. That's absolutely crucial.
I get the why of the simulation now. So we've discovered the inputs, we've designed the model to test them. Now we get to the heavy machinery, the deploy stage. This is where the numbers turn into actual metrics, right?
The deploy stage is where we bring it all together. The inputs, the scenarios, the timeline. For every single year of the project's life, and for every scenario, we calculate two core figures. Revenue and net cash flow.
Okay, let's start with revenue. The formula here seems very specific. How does it work?
It's a dynamic formula. It's calculated as market size X, market share X, selling price X sales volume growth. It's designed to capture how all those market forces interact.
Hold on. I want to clarify the sales volume growth part. We already have market size and market share.
That's a great question. So market size and market share give you your base sales volume for the first year. The sales volume growth factor is the multiplier that lets the model grow your unit sales year over year based on that market growth rate you found in the discover stage.
I see. It's the engine that makes the revenue grow over time.
Precisely. It turns those static assumptions into a dynamic stream.
That's much clearer. And the second core calculation is net cash flow, which tells us if the factory is actually making money.
Correct. And that one is very straightforward. Net cash flow is just revenue operating costs, fixed costs. That resulting number, positive or negative, is what drives the entire valuation from here on out.
And the real beauty here is that by running those cash flows over time, we can get the three big headline metrics, the numbers the board actually cares about.
Absolutely. The framework demands all three because they each tell you something very different about the project's health. First up, you have net present value, or NPV. This tells you, in today's dollars, what the project is really worth. It's the ultimate measure of wealth creation.
If it's positive, the project makes money considering the time value of money.
Correct. It increases shareholder wealth.
So NPV tells us if it's a good investment. But what about how fast we get our money back? That's all about liquidity.
And for that, you have the payback period. This metric just calculates how long it takes, in years, for your cumulative cash flows to equal that initial investment. A shorter payback period means less risk.
Right. So a project could have a huge positive NPV, but if the payback period is, say, almost the entire life of the asset, that's a huge red flag, isn't it?
It's a massive risk signal. It means you might make a lot of money, but only if the world doesn't change for the next 20 years. It highlights the project's vulnerability.
Which is why you need the third one.
Which is why you need the third metric. Return on investment, or ROI. ROI is purely about efficiency. It measures the benefit you get compared to the cost you put in.
So if you put them all together, NPV is about value, payback is about risk, and ROI is about efficiency. It's a complete picture, not just one cherry-picked number.
And to make sure this is all transparent, the source is really specific about the output. The decision maker needs to see a clear table tracking every single year. It has to detail revenue, operating costs, fixed costs, net cash flow, and, this is critical, the cumulative cash flow.
The running total.
The running total. That line tells the story of the project's life. You can see the exact moment it goes from burning cash to generating it. In that pessimistic scenario you mentioned, that line might dip way down and take years to recover, visually showing you that risk we were talking about.
Okay, so we've collected the data, we've modeled the scenarios, we've crunched the numbers. Now for the final stage, drive. This is where we translate all this complexity into clear guidance, right, for the people who actually have to write the check.
This is all about presentation strategy. The framework insists the results have to be displayed in a way that guides the decision without forcing someone to go digging through spreadsheets.
So how do you do that visually?
There are three main pieces to the dashboard. First, you have the detailed tables, that's the backup, the raw year-by-year results for each scenario. Second, and maybe most important, are the line charts.
To see the trend.
Yes. They're essential for visualizing the cash flow trajectory over time, especially that cumulative cash flow. You can put the pessimistic, realistic, and optimistic lines right on top of each other on one graph.
That visual comparison of the curves, that must be incredibly powerful. You can see the worst case scenario immediately.
It eliminates all the guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
And the third piece just ties it all together. The summary metrics. Those are your final headline NPV, payback, and ROI figures displayed prominently for each of the three scenarios.
I can just picture it now. The decision maker sees the cash flow chart, they see the big summary numbers, and they can instantly click into the tables that show the assumptions behind it all. It just builds so much trust because it's completely transparent.
It's a full closed-loop system of analysis. You discover the inputs, you design the simulation to test for risk, you deploy the engine to get the metrics, and you drive the decision with clear visual outputs. It moves you from just a vague hope to a data-backed understanding of risk and reward.
This methodology really does take the terrifying complexity of a huge financial decision and turns it into an organized checklist with checks and balances at every single step. It's a complete loop from those first 10 factors right to the final yes or no.
You know, what's really fascinating here is how much emphasis the dashboard puts on the journey, not just the destination. That line chart, the one showing the cumulative cash flow over time, it often reveals more about long-term risk and liquidity strain than a single big NPV number ever could.
It forces you to respect the role of time in all of this.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And for you listening, now that you've got these four stages down, let's leave you with something to think about. If this whole thing requires you to predict inputs like market share and market growth, which single input factor from that first discover stage, you know, investment required, operating costs, selling price, or market share, which one do you think is the hardest to pin down, the most volatile, the one that has the highest potential to just completely derail the entire analysis? Think about which one is most exposed to forces you just can't predict. We'll leave you to ponder that one. Until next time, keep digging deeper.